like to invite you to come back and be a part anytime that you have opportunity. We are going to ask everyone, please, to fill out an attendance card for us. If you're visiting with us, you'll find a green card located right there in front of you. If you'd fill that out, pass it to the end of the aisles, we'll collect all of those at the close of service. Before we get started, though, I've got some information to pass on to you. And first of all, we received this card of thanks. It's addressed to the Waverly Church of Christ. Thank you for the beautiful potted plant. Your thoughtfulness is very comforting. That's with love, Fay and Charles Stevens. And certainly we need to continue to remember this family in our prayers. We send our sympathy to the family of Kim Cooley. This is young Beth and Jamie Davis's aunt. We understand she passed away yesterday, and I have no funeral arrangements at this time. Also, we send our sympathy to the family of Carl Brown. Mr. Brown was formerly of New Johnsonville. Many of you may have known him or of him. He passed away yesterday morning. His funeral arrangements are visitation from 4 until 7 on Monday, with his funeral at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and that's at the Arrington Funeral Home in Jackson. And certainly we need to keep this family in our prayers. Let's see, things coming up. The Fourth Wednesday Fellowship meal, that's scheduled for this coming Wednesday at 5:30 out in the Enrichment Center. There will be a sign-up sheet up front if you'd sign that so we'll know how much food to prepare. Also, the nursing home services, we'll be conducting those today. I understand we're in need of some volunteers to help with these services, and if you can do that or come and be support to these services, it'd be greatly appreciated. Humphreys County Nursing Home will be at 2 p.m., and Waverly Healthcare will be at 3. Let's see, it's also new directory time. If you haven't already done so, please find the information sheets either in the back hall, the front vestibule, or one of the side windows. Turn that updated information in to us. And if you'd like to have your photograph freshened up for that, you can do that right after these services, right back here by the office. The annual church leaders' dinner, that's going to be held at the Country and Western Restaurant in Camden on Thursday, May the 11th. That's at 6:30 p.m. You're asked to please sign the sign-up sheet up front if you plan to attend, so we can kind of get a head count and turn that in to the other congregations. May 6th, the 50s Plus group, you're going to be traveling to Hohenwald to attend the annual GYIDE fundraiser. The bus is going to be leaving the building here at 2:30 p.m. If you'd like to attend, there'll be a sign-up sheet up here on the front table for that activity as well. Got two great pieces of news, actually. Congratulations to Chris and Kelly French on the birth of Hannah Ruth French, who was born on April the 22nd. She weighed 6 pounds and 7 ounces. She's 18 3/4 inches long. Her grandparents are Wayne and Debbie Townsend and Tommy and Debbie Harden. Of course, her great-grandparents are Hubert and Anita Curtis, and I know I see smiles all around from that family. Congratulations to them. And we rejoice with Jasmine Dombrowski, who was baptized into Christ on Friday afternoon. And certainly we rejoice with her and welcome her to our family. Before I forget it, I want to wish a happy birthday to Charles Stevens. Happy birthday, Charlie. He's shaking his head. You're that old, are you? No. I'm sorry. As Chuck. Well, happy birthday to Chuck. But it's a special day. And if you don't know it, Lou Ann Wright has now spent 53 years putting up with Jerry. They're here today. I know it's been 53 wonderful years. Congratulations to them. 53 years. Wow. It's time. Let me see. No, I got one more. I'm sorry. It's puppet time. We're in need. This is the last Leaderette's puppet activity. We're in need of your help. We need somebody to help write puppet scripts for the puppet teams and practice with them throughout the year leading up to the convention. We also need mentors for the young ladies in the Keepers program for the events coming. We need mentors for the young men in the Providers program that's coming. If you can help with all of that or any of that, see Kayla and she'll put you to work. Now it's time to begin. Ray Walker's going to lead our song service this morning. We're going to ask Carson Plant, if he would, to read the scriptures to us. David Nyland is going to word our opening prayer and I believe introduce our guest speaker this morning, which is Thomas Snow. And then our closing prayer will be led by Hunter Smith. Ray?
Thank you, Ward. I want to bring your attention to a couple of good things. First, it was a good thing. Ward didn't have his article in the paper this week. They forgot and left it out. That's good. The other thing that you might think about is, I thought it was going to be warm today. We were going to get in the sun, but let's go kill hogs. It sure changed. And then the third thing is, which really should be the first, I appreciate so much your thinking of our little foster son, Vic Coker. He passed away a couple of weeks ago, Saturday. And we appreciate the ladies' Bible class who sent a card about that and for the calls that we got. He was a good kid. He fit in here really, really well. And all the other teenagers at his time really loved him. I hope you enjoy this service today. We're talking about praise and dependence. Praise and dependence. The first three numbers are 190, 193, and 194. We'll do those in order, please. After we sing those three songs, Brother Carson Plant will read the scriptures to us, and Brother David Nallen will lead our opening prayer. All right, let's see now. Don't know whether to have you stand or not. I haven't been able to see your expressions. Yeah, let's see. We'll stay seated for the first three. I got a nod from Larry. Oh, me. Only two semis on the highway today and four armadillo.
Good morning. We welcome you to the worship services of the Waverly Church of Christ. Your speaker this morning, Thomas Snow. Your song leader, Ray Walker.
I'll praise him with notes loud and clear, while Scripture reading today will be from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 24. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious word which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done. Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And that he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown."
Good morning. Again, I want to welcome each and every one of you here, especially our visitors. If you was here for our Bible study period, you heard an excellent presentation on the work of the Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry. Brother Thomas Snow is here with us this morning. He is about to speak to us during our assembly time also and bring us a lesson from God's Word. Thomas is the executive director of the Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry. Prior to 2008, he was minister with the Trinity Lane Church of Christ. He was very informative, and they're doing a great work there, and we know that you'll enjoy the word he's about to bring to us now. Before that time, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Almighty God and Father, we approach your throne in prayer. As we bow our heads down low, Father, we approach you humbly. We ask you, Father, to look down on us as sinful people. We ask for your forgiveness, Father. We just, with shame, know that we fail you so often. But with hope, we look to you and for forgiveness, Father. We know that the blood of Christ washes us of all of our sins. We pray, Father, that you strengthen us, that as we face different trials and temptations in this life, we can resist those things and bring glory to your name by the way we react to these things. Father, we have so many problems in this life that we face. We know that by the way we react, if we do it according to your will, we can bring glory to your name. And we just pray that we have the strength and wisdom to do that. We're thankful for this congregation of your people here, Father. We ask your blessings on each of us. We pray as we go through this worship time that the things we say and do will bring glory to your name and bring joy to you. We pray that as we sing these songs and hear the lesson and offer up prayers to you, Father, we can be an encouragement to each other, Father, that we can be strengthened and learn more about your will for us. We're thankful for Ray as he leads us in these songs of praise. Father, we pray that you bless him with good health and a long service to you, Father. We're thankful for him and for all he does. Father, we're thankful for our ministers here. We ask your blessings on both Jeff and Kyle and their families. We ask you bless them with strength and with good health, Father. We pray that you be with our brother Thomas Snow as he brings us this lesson this morning, that you will give him a good remembrance of the things he is prepared to say, that everything he says and now at this time will be according to your will and according to your word. We ask your blessings on the ministry there at Nashville, the Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry. We ask that they always do their work according to your will, that you strengthen them, Father, and make them successful in all things they try to do. Father, we have so many that's on our prayer list, many who are injured or in the hospital recovering from illnesses. We pray that you be with each of them. This morning, Father, we bring before you John Smith. We pray that you be with him and his family as he's taking treatments, Father, that we pray that they will be effective, Father, and that your will is done in his life, and that everything that you in your providence intend for him will come about, Father. And we pray for, that you be with his family. This is a difficult time for them, and we pray that you be with them, that in all things they look to you for strength and guidance. And we pray as their brothers and sisters, Father, that you bless us with words of wisdom, with love in our hearts, that we can be there and support them in the right way. We also pray that you be with Brother Kyle as he is at home still recovering. We pray that he gets a good report, Father, from his recent surgery, and that he his body quickly heals. Father, we're so thankful for this country we live in, that we can meet here without fear, that we can come before you and worship your name as you've instructed us in the Bible. We're thankful that we have this freedom. We pray that you be with our leaders, Father, that you bless them with wisdom, that they always look you in all things, but especially that we can continue to have this freedom. Father, we ask that you be with all the missionaries that this congregation supports, that you bless their efforts, that they work in your kingdom, that the things they are attempting to do will be to your glory, Father, and bring those who you put in their path, that you will bring them to salvation. Father, as we meet here today and offer up these songs and think about your word, and shortly we'll gather around the table, we are mindful of Christ and his sacrifice, what it means to each of us. We pray as we focus our minds on Christ that it helps us realize that we are the body of Christ, that we are united in love and singleness of mind, Father, and we pray we always do that, looking to your word for guidance on these things. We're thankful for Christ and his sacrifice also, Father, for the hope it gives us of someday being with you in heaven for eternity. We look forward to that day, Father, and pray that the day of your son's return will be soon. Again, Father, we pray that as we go through this worship period, all we say and do will be to your glory and will help spiritually nourish us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now please, if you will, mark number 948. Please mark and hold number 948 to be sung at the conclusion of our lesson today. All right, now may we sing before the lesson number 346, please. 346. May we stand.
With me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. good to be with you today, and I do appreciate the invitation to be a part of this service. Thankful for the elders for inviting me, and I want to commend the congregation for all of your good work, both here in the community and also abroad. I do want to mention that I have literature down front at the end of service if you were interested in anything from our newsletter to our summer camp to volunteering. Talks about the reentry center that is available for you as well. When I go out and I speak about prison ministry, generally there is a receptive audience, but it has been a number of occasions where somebody has come up to me and said, "I'm opposed to what you are doing." One of the sweetest ladies at our congregation at Trinity Lane one Sunday came up to me and said, "I want you to know that I'm against that prison ministry." And I looked at her and I just said, "Well, why do you feel that way? What is it that's..." And she said, "Well, I am a victim of a crime. And because of that, people deserve punishment." And I did not deny that. But I also said that they're coming out whether we do anything about it or not. And I said, hopefully we're there to help them so there'll be less victims in the future. She called me a few weeks later. She said, "Well, maybe I guess what you're doing is okay." But one of the arguments that I've heard people make that have been opposed to prison ministry is that they would say that all of the references in the New Testament to visiting those in prison refer to visiting a Christian who is there for godly living, and it does not refer to visiting somebody who is there for their crimes. And so as I think about that, I want us to consider the work of Christ and how that He has always been about going to those who are broken, those who are in pain, those that need healing, those that need hope, and to help them to experience community. Our mission of the church grows out of a reflection of God in His beginning when He created us, when He formed us, and when He made us in the divine image. We have the divine imprint in our lives. And yet, although we are made in God's image, we know from the very beginning, and beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and following through all of Genesis, we see the rebellion of humanity against God. We see people that are involved in conflict, in domination, in wickedness, in depravity, in rebellion. And all of this is a failure to acknowledge the very sovereignty and the power and the rule of God. And so throughout history, humanity and Scripture is filled with violence, control, manipulation, and abuse. Instead of humanity living in harmony with God and with each other and with creation, we have seen oppression that has occurred. And yet it's the very nature of God to initiate the reconciliation. And when we think about the fact that we have been separated from God because of our own sin, that initiation to have that new life does not start with us. It is always initiated by God. I think about God working deliverance among His people. We see this through the pages of the Old Testament, of where God gave Adam and Eve an opportunity for a new beginning. We see this when the children of Israel, when they ended up in Egyptian bondage, and where God led them out. He did not lead them out because they were some godly people, not because they were super righteous, not because they were holy, but because of God's promise and because of God's benevolence. And yet, despite the fact that God led them out, they crossed the Red Sea, led them to the wilderness, and led them to the Promised Land, Israel continued to rebel against God, to where they were eventually taken off into Babylonian captivity, and where they were seen, Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37, beginning of verse 1, he saw a valley of dry bones. And the statement was, "Can these bones live?" God's breath was cast upon them, and they became a very powerful army. And that is a reference not to the resurrection, but it's a reference to the resurrection of the nation of Israel, that they were scattered, that they were in bondage, that they were suffering, that they had been taken and been enslaved. And yet, despite all of that, God did not give up on them. God continued to work in their life, continued to bless them, and giving them an opportunity for a new life. Why was Israel in Babylonian captivity? Was it because they were being persecuted for a righteous life? Not at all. They were being put there because of their very sins. Because they had made worthless idols. Because they had taken their mind and their eyes off of God. Because they worshipped all the things of the world. And yet God still intervened on their behalf. And that is the nature of the God that we serve. God does not abandon us in our mess, but God continues to work for our reconciliation and for our redemption. In the Psalms, there is a strong focus on the very deliverance of God, even when, as people, we have created the very dilemma that we find ourselves in at that moment. The psalmist prays in prayer and in confidence by using the phrase, "Lord my God, and I trust in you." And he prays that God will intervene on his behalf and will show benevolence to him despite the very sins of his youth, which he says are many. His sin is so great that God is his only hope. When we think about our own life, you know, there's really not that much difference between us and those that are behind physical bars. Because at the end of the day, all have sinned, the Bible says, and have fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes folks' sin result in them being behind physical bars. But yet our own sins can put us behind bars in life. And things that trap us and things that hold us back and things that keep us stuck. And yet it's God who is there working on behalf of our forgiveness. Sin is great, but God's mercy is greater than our sin. It was not only true for the psalmist, but it was also true for the nation of Israel. I want you to listen to these verses carefully. This is in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and beginning in verse 10, and down through verse 14. Psalm 107, beginning of verse 10. This is what the psalmist writes. "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering from iron chains." Why? Because they were godly? Because they were moral? Because they were persecuted for righteousness' sake? No, the Bible says this. Because they rebelled against God's commands and despise the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. Now, we'll stop here for a moment. Yes, there are consequences for actions, are there not? And sometimes, folks, we'll have to live with the consequences of our choices for a lifetime. And we understand that. And many of us as well, you know, are having to live with consequences based on choices we made. But then he says, "But although he subjected them to bitter labor, they stumbled, and there was no one to help." There was no one to help. There was no one to go to in their time of trouble. But then it says, "And he saved," the Lord, "saved them in their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains." And so here is God looking on behalf of those who had rebelled against him, those who had committed great wickedness, those who had engaged in worthless idols, those who had done everything to go against the very commands of God, and they were being punished for their sins, and yet God intervened in their life. And I think about our own life, and for some of us, if we would be very honest with ourselves, and if I were honest with myself, There are things that maybe I have done that I just wasn't caught, particularly as a young person. And sometimes that's the difference between those behind bars and those not. But God will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. Psalm 72 and verse 12. Many of those in our prisons and our jails are crying out. Many of them are in trouble. Many of them are in distress. Many of them have made a mess of their life, and I don't deny that. But God wants to work through us to be a blessing to them. You know, the king of Israel, in Psalm 72 in verses 1 and 2, the king of Israel was entrusted by God with a responsibility of taking care of those who were disadvantaged in society, and the poor and the outcast. And when the king looked out for those who were marginalized, those who were forgotten, those who were outside of the mainstream, then he was acting as a representative of God. Now we might say, all right, well, God needs to go down there and we want God to save those folks in the jails and the prisons. But like God worked through the king, so God works through us. And we are his instruments to use us to bring hope to those who are discouraged, to bring encouragement to those who are brokenhearted, to give them hope and to let them know that they have a place in God's kingdom. If someone rejects others because of their broken past, they have only failed to appreciate God's own benevolence in our life. God is good. He is so good. And he has blessed my life and has blessed your life in so many ways. And sometimes it's been in spite of ourselves, in spite of the things that we have done. Now we come to our text today of Luke chapter 4 and verses 16 through 21. The passage that was read in your hearing just a few moments ago. Here is, if you want to think about it this way, a thesis statement. If you were to write a paper, we have, you know, high school students here, college students here. You know, you have a thesis statement, which is a summation of what your paper is going to be about. If you want to take the mission of Christ and sum it all up and encapsulate it in one place, it would be found right here. This is Jesus saying, this is my mission statement. And the rest of Luke is an unwrapping of this passage. It is where Christ is living these verses out. And the book of Acts is the church living it out. And so, what does he say in Luke 4? He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is Nazareth. That's his hometown. That's where Jesus was brought up. That's where everybody knew his name. Everybody saw him as a child. They saw him working in probably his dad's carpenter shop. They knew everything about him. And he goes in the synagogue on the Sabbath day in his hometown, and he takes the Isaiah scroll, and he reads from a compilation from Isaiah 58 and verse 6 and Isaiah 61 in verse 1 and 2. And he says, I want to read this scripture of going to the poor, the prisoners, the oppressed, the broken. And then he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your favor. This is the Lord's favor. I'm here to announce the fulfillment of this passage. Now, what's interesting is this. He mentions to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is an allusion to Leviticus 25, which was the year of Jubilee. Now, in the year of Jubilee, it was the 50th year in Israel's history. And what would happen is that the land was given by allotments to the tribes and to the families. And sometimes people got indebted and they had to sell the property. Some people personally had to sell themselves as a slave, an indentured servant, to pay back their debts. And so the instruction was for this. In the 50th year, they were to blow the trumpet, and all the debts would be canceled. The land would go back to the original owners. If you owed somebody for some indebtedness that you had, it was canceled. What a blessing. Let me share this with you. There is no biblical evidence, and there is no historical evidence that Israel ever kept the year of Jubilee. Imagine that. Why not? Those who had acquired the wealth had no desire to give it back in the 50th year. So this is what Jesus says. My ministry is the year of Jubilee. My ministry is about setting people free. One of the things in Celebrate Recovery, we talk about our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. Many of us have hurts, sometimes bad habits, and things we get hung up on. They cause us trials, they cause us troubles in life, and yet Jesus says, I am coming to set people free from all of this. And when you read the Gospel of Luke, in particular Luke's Gospel, which makes it distinctive, Luke particularly focuses on people who were marginalized. When I use the phrase marginalized, I'm talking about people that are outside the mainstream. People that society has said they don't matter. Those that society has given up on. Every generation and every culture has a group of people that society has abandoned, has forgotten about. Sometimes there are folks that, you know, maybe they're put in a nursing home and nobody goes to see them and forgets about them. Or maybe it's somebody who's in poverty. In Nashville, they stand around and sell the contributor on the streets, if you've been there, and you see folks like that. People that are broken. And Jesus comes to reverse the rules and the roles in life and to free people from what they've been entrapped with. I want you to think about this for just a moment. I'm going to just give you a couple of examples of this in particular that I think will really help us to appreciate what Jesus is involved in his ministry. I want to go to Luke 5 very quickly. This is an example of this. This is an example of setting folks free. This is a leper. I just want to read a couple of verses of this. Jesus saw a man, verse 12, who had leprosy. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. And said, tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest to make an offering for you, cleansing a testimony to them as Moses commanded. Now, when you read that story, you say, well, that's just a healing narrative. You know, Jesus healed the leper. Well, remember this. In Leviticus 13, there were instructions for lepers. And in verse 44 and 45, if a person had leprosy, they were to cover their upper lip. They were to holler out, unclean, unclean, and their dwelling would be outside of the camp and outside of the community. They were excluded from the community of Israel. So when Jesus heals this man, and he does something that nobody else would do, he actually touches him. He doesn't have to touch anybody to heal him, but he touches him because nobody else would. He embraces his humanity. But not only does he heal him, but because the leper's healed, guess what? He can go back to his family. He can go back to his community. He can go back and be accepted. He can go back and have a purpose in life. In Luke 8, 26 and following, there's a demoniac who has been cast out of society. They tried to bind him with iron chains. And he went around and he cut himself with rocks and he cried out in the night. And nobody wanted to be around him. And Jesus cast out the legion. And what was the reaction? People were afraid. And they didn't want any part of that man. And they did not want any part of Jesus. But he came to bring people back into community. And so, as the community of God, we are called to go out to those who are broken, to share Christ with them, But we also have to welcome them into our community. This is a true story. I had a man that was going into the prison, and he baptized this guy in prison. And the guy, this is in Nashville, Church of Christ, and he got out, and he wanted to place membership and be a part of the congregation. And the church leaders took a vote and voted that he could not be a member there. How sad. How sad. We welcome them. As God welcomes us, we welcome them too. Now let me tell you something. They're coming with a whole lot of problems, by the way. They're coming with a whole lot of issues. And we got to be patient sometimes with them. And love them. And use wisdom. Not enable them, but also to help them in the right way. But we're called to be a part of God's community. In Luke 7 and verse 36 through 50, there's a woman. It doesn't tell us what her sin was. Maybe she was a prostitute. I don't know. But Jesus was invited to a banquet, and a woman came without an invitation. And she came to his feet, and she was weeping. And they said, oh, they were thinking, why is Jesus allowing this woman with this reputation to make a scene on this occasion? He announced her forgiveness, and he embraced her despite all the entanglements of her sin. He showed love to her in the midst of her mess. And that's what we're called to do as well. By ministering to those who need healing, we are living out the mission of Christ. When we go to those who are broken, when we go to those who are forgotten, when we go to the jails, when we go to the prisons, we are announcing the year of Jubilee. We are announcing that the debts have been canceled. We're announcing the freedom that we have in Christ. There was a group of people who did not approve of the mission of Jesus. They were called the Pharisees. And Jesus pronounced woes upon them in Luke chapter 6. Jesus came to give good news to the poor, to the prisoners, to the blind, and to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He comes to announce favor in our life. And he comes to work through us who have received God's favor to be an instrument to have favor in their life as well. I know these folks in our jails and prisons have oftentimes made terrible mistakes and sometimes very poor choices. And I understand there's consequences for actions. But God has not given up on them. And we are not to as well. But as Christ gives them freedom, he gives us freedom also. We also get entangled in our own trials, don't we? In our own troubles, in our own tribulations. We have our own hurts, our own habits, and our own hang-ups. God initiates that reconciliation. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, the answer for those in your local jail is the same answer for us here today. It's Jesus. Jesus died for us. He died for them. He came to give us all hope. We come knowing Jesus as a Savior, acknowledging Him as God's Son, turning from our sin, be buried with Christ, and reenacting the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in baptism, and walking a new life with help from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're a community. If you've ever been brought into that community, we want to extend the invitation to you. If you need to give your life to Christ, need to return to Christ, Freedom is being announced. The year of Jubilee is being proclaimed. If you need to respond, do so now while we stand and while we sing.
This has been the worship services of the Waverly Church of Christ. Your speaker this morning, Thomas Snow. Your song leader, Ray Walker. Join us each Sunday at this time for this broadcast. It originated live and was sponsored by the Waverly Church of Christ. Located at 438 West Main Street in Waverly, Tennessee. And from there, we bid you a very pleasant good morning.